Good morning, church. How good it is to be together in God's house today. I hope that you brought a Bible with you and invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Find Proverbs in your Old Testament. And while you're turning to Proverbs, let me just say welcome, add a word of welcome to that which has been extended. We're so glad to see guests here with us today. If it's your first time, I hope that you and trust that you were handed a program on your way in. You'll find on page 3 of that program an interactive outline to help us study God's Word together at this time. Also, you found inside of that program a connection card. That's a very important tool because it does allow us to connect, to get to know one another. And if we can help you, serve you with any spiritual need, pray for you, and encourage you in your next step of spiritual growth and discipleship, that's what we want to do. So please fill out that card, and you can put it in the basket as the basket collection basket is passed in just a few moments. We are in the midst of a sermon series on the home this month called In the Beginning of Our Family, God. And the Bible says that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And we are putting the Lord first in our homes. Family is such a great blessing from God. And at the same time, family life can be challenging. And if you're here this morning and you have stresses about the home, difficulties about the home, you may be even wondering, is there hope for my home? I want you to know that our God is the God of hope. And you are in the right place today to seek God's will, pattern, plan, and power for your home. I'm so glad that you're here. As we look to this study, can you believe this? Can you believe that the NBC public service announcement campaign, The More You Know, is about 30 years old? Wow, 30 years old. It started in 1989, and through the years, many of those public service announcements have been about family and about the home. And you can still watch these short little video clips at a website, themoreyouknow.com. But what's even more fun is to go to YouTube and look up the ones from like 1989 and 1990, right? Don't do it during the sermon, but it is a lot of fun. And you look at Tom Brokaw doing a PSA, and you look at George Clooney, and you look at some of these stars of NBC, and you're like, man, they look young, they look great. The More You Know. It's been so popular, these messages, The More You Know, little 12-second spots that said things like, get to know your kids. Teenagers need you. The More You Know. And read to your kids, and they'll like to read. The More You Know. Stay in school, kids. And care about those teenagers that drop out of school. Teach your kids their telephone numbers. Teach your kids never get in cars with strangers. Boom. One little message, The More You Know. And basically those announcements were saying and do say that knowledge is the key to a happy and healthy life, a happy and healthy home life. The more you know, the better you can be. For nearly 30 years, that campaign has been on television. And I tell you, it resonates, and I think it still resonates, because people do want to know. We do want to know more and have a happy, healthy family. Don't we? Don't we all want that? Yeah, and I know I want that too. And very few things impress upon you a feeling of ignorance and unpreparedness like parenthood. Then we want to know more. Now I get the amens. Now we're awake. Yeah. The more you know. I have observed that when a parent with younger children is talking about the growth stages of their child with a parent of older children, okay, at a different growth stage, that more experienced parent will often say, oh, just you wait. Oh, just you wait. That was the easy part. Oh, to be doing that again. Just you wait. Have you ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever said that to somebody? I think some of us have. I'll tell you my takeaway from that and those experiences has always been, at whatever stage your kids are, you don't know. And you feel as a parent like you are in deep water and you are drowning. And after some time, you can look back and you can say, well, actually, that wasn't deep water anymore. Because now I'm in the deep water. And these people with the younger kids, they don't know. I could tell them. They wouldn't believe me. They just don't know. They'll have to wait and see. And so no matter where we're at as a parent, that is the toughest part, and we would like to know more. This morning, the lesson is called A Time to Speak, Parent Edition. And the Bible gives us timeless knowledge for our homes. In fact, in about 3,000 years ago, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, was inspired to write a collection of wisdom and proverbial truth. And it strikes me how very early and how very often Solomon's words come through the voices of fathers and mothers, directed to their children, directed to the youth. You see, parents have a great mandate, an imperative from God, to teach your children and teach your children about God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers are told, bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so if you're a parent, I want to encourage you, it is your time to speak. If you're a parent, I want to encourage you, these are the days and this is the moment to speak out and to speak up. You're involved in a very unique relationship right now, this parent-child relationship. It's the only relationship I know of in the Bible where the goal is separation. And that is, if you do your job right, parent, you're going to have children who are prepared, who are equipped, who are ready to leave you and cleave to another. To leave mother and father and go cleave to a spouse. And then have their own families. And then have their own children. We're getting them ready for that. We're teaching them about that. And I'll tell you that the book of Proverbs is a wonderful resource for parents. You can read it. You can really use it. These are the things, this wisdom, this knowledge. We need to be teaching our children, teaching them about God, teaching them about life. The book of Proverbs is the more you know. It's Proverbs. Parents, read Proverbs. And what I'm focusing on this morning is that this book of Proverbs doesn't just show parents what to say, in other words, what to speak, but there is just a lot of examples on how you go about it, how you say it, how you speak these truths. And I'm hopeful that this lesson can refresh parents in this God-given role to teach children the way of the Lord. And so by the time we're done, parents, we're going to be reminded of important truths that we need to speak, and we're going to be motivated about this. This is our time. This is our moment to speak to our children. And you're going to be shown godly wisdom that you need to impart to children, but you're also going to be shown six different communication strategies or speaking approaches that will equip you to have these important conversations with your kids. If nothing else, I hope that our time together is more helpful than me standing up here and saying, oh, parent, just you wait. We want to do better than that. So we found the book of Proverbs. We've got our lessons open. Let's go to the Word of God. And number one in your notes, let's understand it is a parent's job. Speak to the children. This is the mandate. This is your job, parent. It is your imperative to talk to your children, to talk about spiritual things, to teach your children. Which means parents need to initiate conversation and need to initiate speaking to the kids. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, here's the voice of a father speaking to his son, right? Parents speaking to children. You know, 23 times in the book of Proverbs, a proverb or a section of Proverbs will begin with the words with my son. 23 times, my son. And 4 times a proverb or a section of Proverbs begins with the words my children. My son, my children. And 0 times does a proverb start with, hey, dad. 0 times does a proverb start that way. What's the point? It is the parents' job to talk to the kids. It is the parents' role to speak. You start it. You initiate. You do it. When you start the conversation and you say, my son, that means that you teach them. You teach them what they do not know. You don't wait for them to ask. There are some things they need to know about badly, but they may be too embarrassed to ask, too ignorant to ask. till they've already made some terrible mistake, or they've gotten into some sort of trouble, or they're frightened about something. You see, when you speak first, they never doubt where you stand. We speak first. My son, the scripture says. My son means you confront them when they do wrong. You go first. You go to them. They will not parent themselves. When they err, it needs to be brought to their attention and quickly, so that they can make a connection between their wrong behavior, the wrong attitude, the error, whatever the issue is, and the truth of the matter, because you address it. You see, when you speak first and you speak to your children, they will never doubt your expectation. My son means that you celebrate them when they do well. You start the celebration. You know, if all we do is lecture and criticize and correct as parents, a child can become discouraged. A child can even be provoked to wrath. And so we want to reward and bless our children when they learn those lessons and succeed and do things well, when they choose wisdom, when they choose godliness. You see, when you speak first, they never doubt your love. My son means that you apologize when you've done wrong. Own up to it, to them. And when you speak first, they will never doubt your authenticity. They will never doubt your sincerity. But sometimes, let's be honest, we do kind of neglect talking to our children. Why do we do that? Well, we're too busy. Or some of us are so beat down because the last few conversations have not gone all that great. And we're kind of wore out with our kids for a while. Maybe we're embarrassed to talk to them about certain things. Maybe we're just a little too angry. Too angry to talk. And it is true that in a parent and child discussion, somebody needs to be an adult. And it is supposed to be the parent. Right? We have to remember that sometimes. But oh wait, I'm the adult here because I'm the parent. Well, we got to remember that, especially if we are correcting. What am I going to tell my children? All of us Christians are committed to teaching our children about God and about the Bible and from the Bible. And no matter the kind of home that you came from, if you're a Christian today, I want you to know we're on the same page. And we're on the same team. There's a lot of people today that they came from family situations and growing up in their background, it was so messed up. And maybe that's you, and your folks didn't talk much at all. They let you learn things the hard way. Or maybe your folks, they told you some things, but they were quite different from the New Testament and from revealed truth. And so you don't really go to them for models in parenting anymore. And that just leaves you finding your own way. You sort of know from your experience, well, I do not want to raise my kids this way, and I do not want this to happen. But you're not really sure what you do want to happen, how you want to raise them. Can I tell you, my friend, that for 3,000 years, parents have needed to talk to their kids about the same things. That this is, you know, I'm just going to share with you this list, and I apologize. I did not have room to put all this in the outline. So if you have your pen, you might want to jot some of these things down. But these are the things we want to be talking to our children about. We want to be talking to them about God. Proverbs 1 in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We teach them about God, that there's a God, that we begin to speak to them about good and evil coming from that truth. We want to be talking to them about their friends, about their companionships, how good friends will lift them up, how wicked friends will tear them down and involve them in all sorts of trouble and problems. We want to be talking to them about the dangers of sexual immorality, that it is wrong, but it is also harmful. There's lots of warnings about that in the scripture, about keeping yourself pure before God and for your spouse. We need to warn them about the danger of alcohol and intoxicants. These things are all talked about in Proverbs, about the problems it brings on people's lives. And man, if you start these things at a young age, it really puts you on a wrong path. And for a long time, we teach them about these things. It's all here in Proverbs. We teach them about proper attitudes, laziness versus the work ethic. There's a lazy guy in Proverbs. He keeps coming up and he's called the sluggard. And we don't want our kids to be the sluggard, and we don't want to be a sluggard, right? And so we teach our kids not laziness. Work hard. Work what's right. Be hard workers. We need to teach about handling money, right? Proverbs has a lot in it about handling your finances, your resources, your wealth and material blessings God gives upon you. Your reputation and how important that is to protect your name. And how do you do that? With integrity and keeping your word and doing the things that you say you're going to be, you're going to do. Who you are, your name. Talks about the power of speech. Not just to say do not lie, but about positive speech as well. And timing and all these sorts of things. Good words to use. It talks about our love, crafting a heart full of love and proper values. I think I will go ahead and read this one in Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Well, that's all about what life, you know, what our heart is really about, what our values are, what life is all about. You teach these things, and it's all there in Proverbs. You can use it from Proverbs. What about marriage? Selecting a spouse and a godly wife whose value is worth far more than rubies in Proverbs 31. We could go on. I'm giving you a second to jot those down. It's very true that our society is different from ancient Israel. And the threats to our kids, they come in slightly different packaging. But it gets back to these things. These timeless truths and issues of life. Parents always have to teach their kids about these things. And I'm telling you this morning, it's time to speak. It's time to speak about them. But how? How do we talk to our kids about all this stuff? How do we speak up? Well, that's number two. Number two in your notes. We're going to look at the Proverbs, book of Proverbs, and we're going to discover the wisdom of created conversation. The wisdom of creative conversation. I said I wanted to share you material, the things that you need to be talking about, but also from the book of Proverbs, good ways how to go about that, speaking about it. And that's what we're going to get into right now. From Solomon, from the book of Proverbs, we learn this first principle about the wisdom of creative conversation, how we're speaking with our children. Number one, speak directly. Speak directly. Speak clearly. Say what you mean, parent, and choose the appropriate vocabulary to their age. But here's the thing about vocabulary. You get to craft it. You get to teach them the words. And what are the words are and what they mean. And the ones we say in this house and the ones we don't. And so you can speak directly. I'm going to tell you that Solomon, he uses obvious words. Sinner, sluggard, God, wise man, fool, talebearers, liars, harlots, the righteous. It's all there. And so Solomon lays out the right way to go and the wrong way to go in unmistakable terms and encourages his children, his son, choose the right path. Speak up, choose the right path. What a wonderful pattern for parents today and as we speak with our kids. There are certain subjects and talks that we don't want to have with our kids. And it really comes across with the meandering, euphemistic ways we try and go about it. Oh, hon, there's these birds, you know what I mean? And then there's the bees. You know what I mean? You know I'm going here? Do you know? No, they don't know. They're embarrassed and they're uncomfortable. I don't know what in the world you're talking about because you're embarrassed, you're uncomfortable, and you won't speak clearly. Well, they don't know. You have to tell them. Say what you mean. If it is about their bodies, use clinical, anatomically correct words. That way they can talk to you about what's going on with their bodies and they can talk to a doctor. If it's about behavior, call sin, sin. Make it clear what is right, what is wrong, and that the standard of such things is the Bible, God's word. You see it in Proverbs, folks, that Solomon is always clear, he's always direct. We just need to take a little courage, and we can do the same. But with Solomon, we see the place and the need of some creativity and some variety as well. And that's what I just want to show you now. These six strategies, six very helpful creative communication strategies. You ready for this? Let's do this. Number one, about speaking creatively, speaking with variety. Number one, Solomon uses warnings. Warnings. Let me give you a couple examples of warnings, okay? Proverbs 6, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 6, verses 1 and 2. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Here's another one, Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse number 26. My son, give me your ear, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as if for a victim, and increases the unfaithful among men. It's another warning. Couple of warnings here. One is about being surety. That's maybe what we would think of as co-signing for someone. Someone's car loan or mortgage or what have you. And they're not, probably can't pay that bill on their own. Another here is a strong warning about fornication and sexual promiscuity. And there are warnings because of the awful consequences that can follow. Don't do this. This happens. Don't go down this path. This happens. You know, in the spirit of warnings, parents make rules, and especially for children and for small children. Make rules, and then you have consequences for breaking the rules. Or maybe you have good incentives, positive things, when they keep the rules. But what parents need to do is make warnings, make rules, and consistently deliver on that warning. Rules aren't bad. It's not bad to give your kids some rules and some structure. God started Israel off with 10 commandments. There's a whole lot more to the old law than 10 rules, but that's where he started. Those are not bad things. And they need to be clear. The purpose for rules and for warnings is a child's welfare. It needs to be clear and appropriate to an age. I'll tell you about a rule that's in my house. A rule that's in my house is that you are not allowed to take a tool or a toy and shove it into an electrical socket. That's a rule. And you know, there's a consequence for that. That if you do take your tool or toy and you shove it in an electrical socket, well, there's time out for that. And we're going to take away your tool or your toy. Okay? Now, when that rule really starts being in effect and held up, it's like an 18-month-old. And so you don't necessarily explain all the whys and wherefores, but they do have to learn that this is the rule and there's a consequence to this rule for breaking it. But you know, then kids start to get older. And when they do, you talk to them a little different. And the rules, they start to sound a little more like the warnings. And there's explanations. And then the kids get a little bit older. They even become adults. They're out on their own. And then the warnings, they start to sound a little bit more like really good advice. But no matter the stage you are as a parent and leading your children, always be clear. Always be consistent with the warnings. Solomon is. Let me give you a second one. Number two, stories. Go with me to Proverbs 7 and let's listen to this story. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6. Proverbs 7 and verse number 6. Now verse 1 starts, my son, okay? But now we're going to get to a story in verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. And so she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows, so I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow had struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Well, I didn't say it was a happy story, but it's a story. It's a story. Can't you see it? Solomon's looking out the window, seeing something, and boy, what a story I have for you, my son. And it is no mistake that the Bible is full of stories, culminating in the greatest story of mankind's redemption in Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would you tell a story, happy ending or sad? We tell stories because we remember stories. And we identify with stories. We can imagine with stories and internalize stories. I'm telling you, use a story to teach your kid. Parents, let's find some good stories to tell them. You know that your children love it. Whether you're telling them a story or reading them a story out of a storybook, reading the Bible account with them, they love that time. You can find some true stories to make powerful points in teaching, from the Bible, true stories in the Bible, but maybe from the news or from a website or from a book, or perhaps even fictions. We all love fairy tales when we were little kids, and that story time with mom and dad, and so many of those had a moral, had a point. But use stories to teach the children. Number three, that's what I was going to share with you, six. Number three, use observations. Look at these observations in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 38. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 48. Excuse me, 28, 24 through 28. Proverbs 30, verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, and yet they make their home in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with his hands, and it is in kings' palaces. What's Solomon doing? He's making observations, looking at the world around him, looking at animals, and he's making some points. I've heard some great fathers here in the room talk about, Tom Garland was one of them. He was talking about this yesterday at our meeting, about finding teachable moments, when a dad will find a teachable moment with their child. Maybe it's looking up at the beautiful Florida sky and talking about the wonder of creation and glorifying God who made it. It's just an observation. But when you're spending time with your child, whatever it might be, experiencing things with them, driving in the car and we're taking a trip or we're working on a project, maybe even we're doing chores around the house, but it is a moment when you observe something and you can bring it back to God for that child. You can bring wisdom into their life in that moment. And you observe something in life that they know or they're observing it too. And you talk about it. That's what Solomon did. And I'll tell you, some of those extemporaneous kind of unplanned lessons are the ones that really, really stick with you. It's very, very memorable. And I know one of the things we all remember is the time that we spend with our parents. Let me give you a fourth strategy of speaking with our kids and speaking up. Personal experiences. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, again, Solomon reminds his son about a time when he was young. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Now check this out, verse 3. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And what's really neat about verse 3 there is here's Solomon talking to his children, and he talks about being a little boy when David, his father, taught him these things. And isn't it great, isn't it always great to hear stories about dad when he was little, or about grandpa or even great-grandpa when they were young? You know, I can remember being a real small little guy and hearing some stories grandparents told me about my folks. And see, being a real small little guy, I would always look at my parents as they are so old and all-knowing and, you know. And then when grandparents start to tell you about, well, I can remember when they were your age and I can remember when this happened. What an intriguing notion. My parents were little like me? My parents had to grow up? Whoa. I mean, it really was for me very intriguing. And I love to hear those stories of the personal experiences when my folks were coming up. And your children do like to hear about you and your growing up somewhat. Now look, if it's always about how you had to walk to school uphill both ways for 15 miles in the snow, well, they may not always want to hear that story, right? That story gets a little old. Or if your story is always the one about when you were the big hero and you won the game, well, actually, that story can get a little old, too. They start to feel like, I'm never going to quite measure up to Dad, quite measure up to Mom. Tell them about the wins. I'm not saying don't. But also tell them about the times you learned. See what I mean there? Tell them about the successes. Go ahead and tell them. But also tell them about the times when, well, I just got experience out of that one. Tell them about all the stories. Help them. Help them grow up as you share about the times that you gain your experiences. Number five, Solomon does in the book of Proverbs is questions. Asking questions. Proverbs 17 and verse number 16 rather. Proverbs 17 verse 16. We'll just do one of these. You can look for questions. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom? Since he has no heart for it. There's a couple of great questions. Why is this guy acting like he wants to learn? And has the ability to learn? And he won't learn. He won't change. Well, those are great questions. Questions get people thinking, get children thinking. They can be rhetorical questions. They can be genuine questions, but they get us thinking. Questions help us to discover answers. And you always appreciate that knowledge you work to discover. I think about God in the Garden of Eden, and he's asking Adam, where are you? God knows everything. God's eternal. God knows where Adam is. He's not asking the question because he really does not know. But by asking the question, he helps Adam to realize, I'm hiding from you. Well, maybe we've got a problem, son. You know, it was so Adam could see where he was and that things were not right through the power of a question. Through the power of a question. Questions get young people talking. Questions show you what's going on in their minds. And that really helps you be a better parent. I love to ask my children, all right, after we've had a big day, what was your favorite part of the day? I just want to know what their interests are. I want to know what stood out for them. I really do. And just to see what's going on. And of course, the perfect teacher, Jesus Christ, he shows us on many occasions that sometimes the best answer to a question is actually with a question. We learn from him. We learn from Solomon to ask questions. Finally, number six, I want to give you six, was projecting or modeling what we're looking for in this child. How does that work? How does Solomon do that? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. What does it look like to be wise? Well, it's to gather in summer. And you're a wise boy, aren't you? You're going to do the wise things. So you model that. You project that. Don't be like the lazy one. Or Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Proverbs 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitter to her who bore him. Well, that's not you, son. You're not a fool. You listen to your mother and you honor your mother. You're not foolish. You wouldn't do that. I'm really big on this. I'm really big on explaining, modeling, projecting why we do what we do. Why are we worshiping God? Why are we worshiping this way? It's because we are Christians. It's because this is what the Bible says. It's because we're disciples. You want to be a disciple, don't you? This is what disciples do. This is why. I mean, that can be a positive thing and that can be a negative thing. Don't do like the fool, like Solomon did. But when we tie it to the end, because we're people that believe in Jesus, because we're wise people, because we're citizens, because we're the right sort of people we want to be, we do this and so, and we project it and we model it. This is the way that we go. We speak directly, we speak creatively. With these six suggestions, we find them all in Proverbs. Solomon shows us in Proverbs that we speak repeatedly. See, the book of Proverbs is free of vain repetitions, but it's full of repetition. And variety aids some of the repetition. How is it you say the same things five different ways? Well, one time it was a question, one time it was a story, one time it was when I grew up. That's how we do repetition. You have never had the talk with your child about anything. You've never had the one and only talk with your child on any subject. Doesn't matter the subject. You will go over it again. You need to go over it again. You will repeat. You will rehash. You will refresh. We got a room full of school teachers in here. How many of you know repetition is important in learning? That's what they teach the teachers. Of course we know these things. Along with speaking repeatedly about it, we speak and we live consistently with integrity. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26... Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Listen and watch me. Watch me. I don't know. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But some of us are guilty of do what I say, not what I do. And Solomon does just the opposite here. This is integrity. No parent's perfect, but children need to see parents that are doing their best, walking and talking, right? Where our actions match the speech. And God's great imperative for parents is to speak to the kids, to teach the kids about Him, about His ways. They are so smart. They are so observant. They're little sponges. They soak it all up. And we cannot be hypocrites. They sniff it out. They find it out. And I know we're not always perfect. So when we're wrong, we need to repent of that. We need to change when we've been hypocrites. It's okay and it is important to apologize to our children when we've done wrong. And when we've done them wrong, they see that we have integrity. I hope these things are very helpful as we look at Solomon as a guide here for parents to speak to their children. Last thing we're going to say, number three in your notes. Parents speak to their children because parents love them. You know, probably there are some parents in the room here this morning. You're fighting with your kids right now over something. You had to hit pause on the fight to come out to worship. But you're fighting with the kids about something. And on the inside, you got to laugh. Of course, today we're talking about parenting. You know, this is just the way this works, right? Just the way it works. You speak with your children because you love them. And you teach the children because you love them. You make a rule, you provide consequence because you love them. You do anything for your kids because you love them. And God's mandate is to do something challenging, which is speak to them and to teach them. But you will do this because you love them. That's why you speak, because you love them. I'm going to give you a second reason that parents are doing this, why you want to go back home and do it today. Because the children do listen. They do listen. Even when they're attempting to ignore or forget what you are saying, they do hear and they listen. Parent, your voice is too strong in their life. And there is nothing that can drown it out, really. So long as you choose to use your voice, the only person who can silence, truly silence your voice in their life is you. So speak. Speak. They will know, they will believe, and they will repeat the things you say. And sometimes it happens at the oddest time. How many of you has realized that something has come out of your mouth? I sound just like my dad. Can't believe I just said that. I sound just like my dad. I was listening. And now it came out. And now it came out. They do listen. Finally then, we are speaking to our children because if the parents do not speak, well, others are talking. Plenty of others are talking. We've saw about them in Proverbs today. The fools are talking. They're constantly talking, trying to lead the children in ways they should not go. The sinners, the violent men are talking, trying to steal the children away, seduce the children away from where they should not go. The harlots and the adulterers are talking, trying to steal your children of their virtue, of other commitments. They're talking, they're talking, they're talking. And the voice is coming through in all these is the devil who is talking. John chapter 8 and verse 44. He is the liar. He is the father of lies. And I want to tell you something about everybody on this list, parents. Everybody on this list, none of them love your kids. But you love your kids. None of them love your kids, but God loves your kids. God loves your kids. You've been given a mandate from God to be speaking to your children. These others, they don't have that mandate. They do all this for other reasons, but it's not the mandate of God. And so you speak. Parents, it's your time to speak. It's your time to speak. So this morning we've talked about a time to speak. The parent edition. If you want to put your notes away, we're going to have some more song worship. Brother Tim, who's led us so wonderfully this morning, he's going to come up and lead us in one more wonderful praise to God. Where do we start this morning? The more you know. And we all said, yeah, I want that. I want to know more. I want my family to be happy. I want my family to be healthy. And where do we go to know? We go to God's Word. It's Proverbs for parents. There's the more you know. That's the wisdom we need. That's what we want to share. And God has given us a mandate to do that. The more you know. In the New Testament, in the book of 2 Peter, I'm going to share one verse with you in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We are taught that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge or true knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I want you to leave here this morning convinced and convicted that everything you need to know to succeed in the work and plans that God has given you and revealed in His Word, it's there, it's in Scripture. And through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you in a right relationship with Jesus Christ? We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. And for the person that needs to start by giving themselves to the Lord, so that they might give their home to the Lord, we want to help you. We'll take your confession. We'll baptize you into Jesus right now. It'll be a wonderful thing. If there's some here today, you're Christians, you're disciples of Christ. But as parents, it's been a struggle. Or you want wisdom. You want prayers and encouragement. Can we lift you up in some way today? We'd like to do that too. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?